So much for staying to listen to this. I do want to preface my talk with you today that I am not a dental expert in any way, shape, or form. And so I would be happy to collect questions that you have about things such as how Idaho deals with certain who can do which things in what setting. But I am just a program evaluator, and I will explain to you what I found, and we can explore from there. I was really interested in coming here. I've been living in the western U.S. for a while. Didn't realize how popular Delta Dental was all over the nation until I came here for the conference, and everywhere I look, there's a sign for Delta Dental. So this isn't much of a surprise for you guys. We were asked to buy Delta Dental of Idaho to help them look at their school-based dental sealant program because they needed to report to their board of directors whether this was actually working or not. And so they wanted to know the effectiveness at preventing dental caries in this population and also what the retention rates of sealants were compared to other populations that had been documented. So I'll go quickly through this because most of you are well aware of this. Dental sealants have been around since the 1970s, and they're now a commonly accepted practice, and they protect the molars on the pit and fissure region. Several people today have already said that dental disease is one of the most common childhood illnesses and also preventable. Nationally, 17% of children ages 6 to 9 have untreated caries, and this rises to 24 to 26% in minority groups and children from households with less than 100% of the poverty line. 90% of cavities in children occur in the pit and fissure areas of their molar teeth. And so the first-year molars normally erupt when a child is 6 to 7 years of age, and second-year molars normally erupt between 12 and 13. This photograph on the left shows the deep pits and fissures, which hold material and predispose a child for caries, and after a sealant is applied, this plastic resin material, and I should say I have no conflict of interest, then you can see it's much smoother, harder for food to be left in there and stuck in there and bacteria to work on it. The molars are most vulnerable to decay during and right after they've erupted before their fluoride sealant. You guys can educate me on this before they're fully enameled. What's the right word? Fully
mineralized.
Is that the right word? Okay. Thank you. All right. So if properly applied and retained, sealants have been shown to be 90 to 100% effective in preventing dental caries in those sealed teeth. A study in 2005 looked at sealants versus kids with sealants versus no sealants, and they saw a 76% reduction in caries at 4 years, and a 65% reduction over 9 years. So that's pretty impressive findings. I do have to tell you, after listening to the last presentation, I have two children, and I was terribly lax in making them brush and floss. I have to admit that. However, thanks to dental sealants and fluoride treatments, neither of my child's ever had a cavity, knock on wood. And so thank you to the dental program for making it so much easier to be a parent these days. So nationally, only 32% of children between the ages of 6 and 9 have dental sealants. And only 25 to 27% of children from minority households have dental sealants. So even though we've made progress, there are still groups that are not being targeted. In Idaho, in 2001, we had 38% of third grade students had dental sealants placed, And this was from data from the 2008 BRFSS data for Idaho. In 2008, 57% of Idaho third graders had sealant. So it's improving slowly. 67% of third grade children had some type of caries experience, either treated or untreated decay, and 23% had untreated caries. Another report, the 2005 Idaho Children's Health Risk Report, also documented that caries was 90% in the Native American population at third grade, 78% in our Hispanic population at third grade, and 64% in our Caucasians at third grade. In Idaho, as many of you come from states with rural parts as well, but we have a problem providing dental services in general to rural communities in Idaho, but particularly to uninsured or underinsured children. 38% of Idaho's children under the age of 19 live at less than or equal to 200% of the federal poverty level. So all across Idaho, we have a big problem with low-income children. Medicaid does cover children in Idaho. It's a difficult process for parents to navigate, and our criteria for participation is pretty stringent and has to be often reapplied. So it's difficult for ongoing care. And even when someone does get in their child or themselves into the Medicaid program, it's often difficult for them to find a provider at all or one who will accept the Medicaid reimbursement. So obviously school-based programs have been shown in many cases to be a great place to target high-risk students. They've been shown in other studies to increase the prevalence of dental sealants, and also they allow a place where someone can come in contact with the family or caregivers to try to link those children with insurance or other subsidy programs as needed. So Delta Dental is the largest dental carrier in Idaho. They defined their program originally when they started as going into schools with where more than 55% of the students in the school qualified for free or reduced lunch. So they would get that list every year from the Board of Education and start targeting those schools all across Idaho, asking if there was any way that they would be willing to allow a team from Delta Dental to come in and do the program. Currently, they're placing about 4,000, they're placing sealants and examining about 4,000 children a year. So when Delta Dental came to us, they had started the sealant program in 2007, and they started the program in students in the second and third grade. They were right in the process of doing their program with seventh and eighth graders, and they were looking to see whether or not they could find students that they had seen in second and third grade, those same students again in seventh and eighth, and look at sealant retention and other what's happened to those children's six-year molars since the last time they saw them. So the timing is a little off. For some reason, they tend to do elementary schools in the fall and middle schools in the spring. So the timing is a little off, but that's just how Delta Dental runs their program. And so they provided us with the original record from this child's first visit and the record from their second visit, and we entered those and looked at that information. Once the school had said that Delta Dental is able to come in, because I don't believe we have any school co-located health facilities in Idaho. There might be one at the high school that deals with women who are children who are pregnant or have small children, but that's just not, we haven't reached that point yet. In fact, we've gone the opposite direction. We don't even really have school nurses at schools in Idaho anymore, so or they come one day a week, which is very convenient for children who need medication daily. But anyway, so a consent form was sent home to all of the parents in that second or third grade class. If it was returned completed, then the child was able to participate in the program. A dental hygienist went out, did an oral health examination, and if appropriate, placed dental sealants. Information was sent home to the parents regarding the visit, either that you did a great job or that, you know, we recommend you go see a provider. And of the children that were at highest risk, children with significant decay or other problems, they were linked with a program manager who followed up with the family and the child to see, do everything they could to get that child into a provider's dentist's office as soon as possible. And as I said, the original school visits were done in second and third graders, and that's the information that I'm going to show you. On this slide, it says first and second because they have actually dropped the grades that they are going to first and second because of the fact that Carrie's was so high at third grade. So now the challenge is they're seeing more children with unerupted molars, which is a missed opportunity, but they were missing the opportunity to seal them when they had already had an issue to begin with. So it's a kind of a no-win situation. So the children represented 21 elementary schools and 19 middle schools across the state of Idaho. We had paired visit data for 233 children. 225 of the elementary school children at baseline had all 4 6-year molars erupted, so about 97% of the kids. So we looked at a total of 932 molar surfaces. So 8 students at baseline had at least one molar not erupted, so there were 15 total missing teeth. And the average time between when we saw them at baseline and follow-up was 3.5 years. So at baseline, 31% of the molar surfaces, of these 932 surfaces, had already been sealed somewhere else, probably at a provider's office. They placed sealants in another 32% of the children's molars. They were able to partially seal 2%, repair sealants in 1.5%, and 31% of the kids already had decay experience in those molars that prevented them from being able to provide a sealant. So this is just shows us that only 49% of the children that they saw overall did not already have signs of dental disease as based on a diagnodont reading of less than 30. I did it. So the sad part is that in this population of second and third graders in Idaho, over 50% already had signs of decay in one or more molar. And you can see, you know, this shows you that, you know, 12.5% of the children had decay in all 4 6-year molars at the time of the visit. So when we came to our follow-up time period, of the 932 original teeth surfaces that we looked at, 51% were sealed. And this is compared with 31% that we saw at baseline. Molars with sealants placed, repaired, or partially sealed was 15% of the population that we saw, and decay experience had occurred in 34% of those children. And decay experience was defined as either already having a filled molar or signs of untreated decay. Over the 3.5-year time period, a retention, sealant retention was about 59%. When we looked at the teeth that were healthy at baseline, of all of the molars, almost 70% of the molars, individual molars, were healthy. Now remember, we talked about the fact that 50% of the kids already had decay in at least one tooth. And so when we saw them 3.5 years later, we found the molars that about 63% were still healthy. And so when we look at the fact that between when the teeth erupted and when we saw them, about half of the children had experienced decay. But between the 3.5 years that we followed them, in those molars, we only had another 7% increase in decay. So we were able, I think, to show that having sealants placed on those teeth certainly slowed down the problem of decay. Again, decay experience noted in 31% of elementary students. 62% of all six-year molars were healthy, so that was only a 7% reduction. And in this study, we found that having sealants in place at baseline, whether they were sealed by the Delta Dental staff or other professionals, reduced decay at a follow-up exam by 59%. So, as you guys know very well, dental sealants are great thing to provide in school-based settings. Other oral health programs are already administered in schools in Idaho as well as other places. So it's a nice adjunct. Sealant retention in this population seems to be about what's expected from the literature. This is definitely a low-cost adjunct to dental services and may help us in Idaho particularly to provide an additional layer of coverage in rural and underserved areas. So, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to invite the speakers up to the front so they can take any questions. So who has the first question for one of our speakers? Karina?
I'm just wondering, in the texting program, did you recommend a specific mouthprints or just mouthprints in general?
No specific, it was great. And actually, everything is that we recommend is ADA of seal of approval. So in our messaging is that if they use a toothpaste or mouth rinse, as long as they're ADA approved, it's a fair product.
Can everyone hear the questions and the answers? The mic doesn't. Okay, so whoever's answering is going to have to stand up. Okay. It doesn't.
Does it ring?
Yeah. Next question. Okay. The question was for the text to floss. What was the major differences between the control group and the experimental group? Right. That was your question.
The only difference was that one group had text messages and the other didn't.
So it wasn't that they couldn't have access to
phones,
or
it
wasn't that it was just they were randomly selected.
That's correct. They were randomly selected, and the criteria was that ones who were selected, they have to be able to actually get a text message.
Alice, next question.
I would like to make a couple of suggestions if you're going to continue. One is that you ask questions about their use of fluoride, because if you're going to prevent tooth decay, it's going to be through the use of fluoride and fissure sealant. Second is, you may want to change your question from, did you floss yesterday? Because nobody likes to, you know, that they didn't do something they know they're supposed to do. And preferably is to ask, when did you floss last? And you're more likely to get more accurate information.
Those are very strong. Actually, that's great you mentioned those two things. So when we designed the program, one of the things about text messaging today, ironically, that used to be a teenager method of communication 5-6 years ago, now is a very high regulated HIPAA-compliant method of communication. So the method of communication going back from a system-generated question is very specific. You can't have an open-ended question either. So when a system generates a question, when we designed the actual system, we wanted to be very specific, meaning that we wanted to limit on how they would answer the question. So hence, it was asked about a behavior from the day before. So for doing a time collection, it requires an extra layer of systematic of evaluation for when the actual flossing happened. So that was the reason we actually did the past tense question. And the second question part was that American Dental Association makes recommendation to do brushing twice a day and do flossing every day. And one of the things that we wanted to do is to ask a question between the two, was either brushing or flossing. And between the two, flossing was a more neutral question to ask. So the idea really is as far as the educational part. And one thing I didn't mention in the study is that the platform actually allows in four category of age category of getting oral health messages. So if you're a teenager, you get different kind of messages. If you are age 18 to 65, you get different kind of messages. So all the messages are based on NIH ADA recommended information to engage the patient for knowledge and behavior. And it's meant to be very simple as a two-way messaging so we can collect data on compliance. One of the things we wanted to show was, can we see compliance from this communication at all or not? But your point about that, thank you.
And I would suggest that it's a missed opportunity that we do too often in dentistry by not talking about fluoride. And the public doesn't know what it is. And then it gets refused in central water supply because we haven't educated.
Fluoride is part of the communication. And so the oral health message that goes out are different per day. And fluoride is actually one of those messages that actually come out. So you're welcome to try it out. It's text2floss.com, and you can go and sign up. It's a free program. And you have my information. You can email me your suggestions as well. So we'd love to see what your input on that is.
Question in the back of the room.
Thank you for asking that question. That's correct. The Text for Baby is a free program, and what we've done is there is a cost that the from some of our sponsors actually will cover the cost of extra charges for text messages. So the future steps are to be able to actually work with the carriers and to be able to do that. That's our next step. But the platform is situated to go that direction. Thank you.
Also on text messaging, and I think it's excited about what you're trying to do, not just for this topic, but I work in other topics, and I think Scott White is here and application efforts. But what I wanted to say that I think would be potentially important if you're thinking about it is to do a longer follow-up on a pilot, because I would be hesitant to widely sell this throughout Latin America and everywhere without also knowing, do people maintain the I did see you said it, that you had it as a limitation, but you didn't say it just because of time. Do people, can they maintain this behavior over a month? And do they need other texting? So I think there's just a lot more exciting work about this same program that might be good before real wide dissemination, because maybe it needs some follow-up texting once a week for a month or
absolutely. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things that we implemented was that the system, it will send you a reminder every 2 weeks that if you want to get the messages again or not. One of the things we tried to do is because of the fact that part of our DNA or dental school is the community areas, an underserved area. So we want to keep the traffic of the SMS very low. And so the reminder goes out every 2 weeks to ask if you want to start a one-week program again. If there is no response, the system will go to sleep mode. But one of the things we're trying to do with Latin American countries is to introduce the concept so for them to actually implement it and customize it. And in all arenas outside of the oral health is really using the SMS traffic, because SMS is the most commonly used method of communication globally and is the most cost-effective. So you may go to a village, which we send students out and they do rotations, let's say, out of the country. Once they leave, there is no communication, there is no implementation of oral health or discussion after that. So the idea was, what can we do to leave back behind? So this is the continuation of promoting and educating of oral health. And it can be customized based on the particular area of each country. Thank you.
Question in the back of the room?
Just a quick question. I might have missed May's presentation. So the clinic is a health clinic and has dental services. What does the clinic do? Do they do the fluoride?
Yes.
May. You have to stand up because this doesn't reach. Can you repeat her question?
The question was if the school held a clinic provided fluoride and sealants. And it's yes. Well, for all the patients that come in, they provide a fluoride varnish that day, and then if they need sealants, they make an appointment to come back later. And we also have x-ray days to make sure that all the kids don't have cavities. And we have two pediatric dentists who come in to view the x-rays and that we refer out.
Dr. Presson.
My question's for Dr. Hanna. It's encouraging to see Delta Dental evaluating their program. Have they indicated how they're going to use the findings of the evaluation?
So the question is, how is Delta Dental going to use the findings of the evaluation of the sealant programs?
Thank you very much for asking that, because I was just kicking myself for not saying this. So the most exciting part for me, I took on this project because I had a pre-med student who really wanted to work on it, and so I said, okay, I'll help you. So this was totally pro bono for Delta Dental, and it's been a great relationship that we've built over the years, but I just found out from their outreach coordinator that they not only got additional funding through Delta Dental's foundation, but also were awarded funding through the state to expand their programs based on the results that we were able to provide them. So it was nice to actually see a positive benefit come out of that.
Any other questions for our panelists? Okay. So no other questions. This session is over. Now I want to thank our speakers. Thank you.